It's now time for Ken Colburn with Data Doctors, sponsored by Carbonite, the better backup plan. Automatic cloud backup for your files, photos, and more.
Welcome, Doctor. What's your prescription for us today?
Good morning. Oh, I don't know. Let's. How about technology?
We can start there.
So I know you guys talked about on your blog, you talked about this Samsung Family Hub refrigerator. I don't know if you kind of got into any of the details of it, but I think a lot of people on their face, they're looking at this thing going, why? Right? Why would I want something like this? And I think, you know, these connected refrigerators have actually been around for many, many years. We go to the Consumer Electronics Show every year just to try to get a sense of what these folks are working on. And I think what they've figured out is, you can have, I mean, one of the things that they're offering is they have cameras inside the fridge. So if you're at the office and you're going, I wonder what I got at home to make for dinner or whatever, you can pop onto your smartphone and go, okay, I don't have much. I need to stop at the grocery store. So there's some potential functionality there with some of this technology, but a lot of this stuff is a solution searching for a problem.
I like that. You know, the one that I saw, and I don't know if it ever came into development at one of the, I don't know if it was a Consumer Electronics or just one of the National Builders Show, but you could load your favorite recipes. And so then it would tell you, all right, here's what you have in your fridge, and based on your favorite recipes, here's what you can make tonight. So you don't get started making something and realize, you know what, I don't have the cayenne pepper or the filet or whatever. I liked that application.
Well, in a lab, that makes a lot of sense because they're going to be very meticulous about making sure that they keep track of the inventory, right? Can you see yourself as you use products out of your refrigerator going to some interface saying, okay, I just used this? Because it's not like facial recognition of an apple and an orange, you know. It's not that realistic, let's just put it that way. Where I think Samsung does have something that I think has a lot of potential functionality for all of us is that forget what's going on inside the refrigerator. The front of the refrigerator becomes this family hub, shared calendars, stuff I need from the grocery store, notes, you know, it's like the electronic version of the old pegboard, right, or the old corkboard that we'd leave notes for each other. So I think something like that actually has some potential. But again, the connected kitchen, a lot of this stuff is just putting the stuff out there to see what consumers actually use and like and what doesn't work. It's kind of like 3D TV. They're like, the whole industry is trying to convince you need a 3D TV. And most of us are going, not a chance. So, and I heard Rosie say earlier, he's more of a second generation tech guy. You know what? So am I.
And I was, Ken, I was just bragging there. Really, I'm about an eighth generation.
Okay. Well, you know, there's not necessarily, you know, if you're going to choose between first and eighth, you're going to save a whole lot more money. You're going to have a whole lot fewer headaches. You know, so this, it's not necessarily a bad thing. I unless you're in the industry, I tell people, stay away from that leading edge stuff. Let us geeks and nerds kind of go through the testing. And, you know, when it comes to me plunking down my dollars, that's a different process than me doing things professionally to test products out. You know, I'll test them, will I use them? And that's really kind of the key for me.
What's in the test lab right now?
So we just got the brand new iRobot robotic vacuum cleaning system, like the very latest top of the line, which I don't know if you realize the Roombas have been around for almost 15 years. So there are a lot of people listening that probably have either seen or use or currently using one of the older generation Roombas because, you know, it's not like it's going to replace your cleaning system. It's just an easy way to kind of pick up and clean up without you having to, you know, do it yourself. What's different about the current generation is that it now can do much larger homes. It's more intelligent about going back and recharging and then picking up where it left off. It's super quiet. It's nice and low, so it gets under those hard to get to places, under beds, under tables, along the cabinet line, what have you. So it is technology that I think depending upon where you're at in your lifestyle, it could certainly come in handy. The one that's really intriguing to me is this new mopping robot. I mean, how about that?
Well, before we get to the mopper, my first question, you say it does bigger homes. How big of a storage container does this have? I mean, you still have to remember to clean it out, right?
Yeah. I mean, unless you really have a mess, it should be no problem to go through one or two cleanings before you have to clean the bin or, dump the bin out. Obviously, you'd want to do it, after every cleaning. But it's now rated at 2,000 square feet of actual space that it's going to clean. So in other words, think about your home, how much of it's occupied by furniture and how much of it's actually open. So, instead of some of the older generations that might have gone 300 or 400 square feet, this one's about 2,000. And of course, with all of the apps out there, there's an app for it that you can say, you know what, I got somebody coming over tonight. Let's get the cleaning started. And basically, while you're at the office, just pop into the app and say, hey, start cleaning the house.
All right. So, and you've got one that mops now. That sounds like a disaster waiting to happen.
Well, so it's not designed to mop your whole house. It's really designed to do smaller areas. So think in terms of kitchens and bathrooms. And the application that I came up with is both of my kids went to college and lived in dorms with other people. And that bathroom in both situations was a mess because nobody wanted to clean it. So you could basically just put this robot in that messy dorm bathroom, close the door, let it do its thing. And when it's done, you just go pick it up, hit it eject button, and all that dirtiness just goes right into the ash can.
How about all the toothbrush spray on the mirrors? Did it get up the walls?
Yeah, no, actually, we did see 2 years ago, I saw a window cleaning robot that basically has suction cups and So, I mean, that may be coming, but I think the micro robots, like this mopping robot's actually very, very small because it's made to go into these small areas. I mean, think about in and around the toilet and all the stuff that, most people just don't want to deal with.
So
go ahead.
How many different robots do I need to get my house clean? I mean, we're up to 4 or 5 now, aren't we?
No, I think generally speaking, the ones that are out there that are established that basically have kind of proven technology are the ones that are going to vacuum for you. In the case of this 900 or 800 series, this brand new, 980 is the model that I'm testing. Their new top of the line. It can tell the difference between plush carpet, hardwood floors, tile, and makes adjustments automatically. So it pretty much can handle all of that. And then the mopping side is just, in certain areas that I'd suggest something like that if you're, looking to not have to do it yourself, I guess.
What's the price point on these particular items we're talking about?
So the mopping robot, that's the one that I think is a great gift for students, is $199. That's the retail on it.
Okay.
So Roomba's or the iRobot company, that's the parent company for all of these devices, have many, many different models. The one I'm testing is the brand new top of the line. So it's up there. It's $899.
$899?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Which in the world of vacuum cleaners isn't necessarily that expensive.
Are they HEPA?
I'm sorry?
Are they HEPA filtered?
I don't know the specific filtering technology. It's a good question. I'll have to take a look at that. But from the standpoint, what I look at it this way. Is it going to do as good of a job as you if you're going to be really meticulous? No. Is it going to do a better job than your teenager? Heck yeah.
Well, and the other question is when I return from Mars on my SpaceX journey, my house could still be clean years later.
Well, right. As you're making re-entry, you get your app out and say, hey, I'm going to be home in about 6 hours. Get that place cleaned up for me.
Yeah. Get the dust up.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
The Internet of Things.
Yes. Yeah. Connecting everything, right? And we talked a little bit about it a couple months ago. I think the entry level for most people is the connected thermostat. That one has a lot of value. It makes a lot of sense because, things like you're not there 6 hours of the day. If you forget to either program it or turn it down before you leave, you're cooling your house all summer when there's no need to. So these smart thermostats, like I own a couple of the Nest thermostats, which actually figure out what's going on just by your lifestyle
habits.
Patterns.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't have to program anything. You just set the temperature how you want it, different parts of the day, and it learns that. But the big thing is it's got a motion sensor. So if it's that does not sense motion for some number of hours, it automatically goes into away mode.
Hmm.
And then they give you a report showing you how much energy you're saving because you've basically not kept it at 76 degrees all day long.
And I like the smart doorbells now. They'll actually photograph who's at the house.
Well, they can photo. They can do live streams to your phone no matter where you are. So you can pretend like you're there and talk back to them.
Yeah.
Right?
I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. It serves a couple of different purposes. Obviously, you get a little bit of a security component, which I think a lot of this stuff, the cameras, you're going to see more and more of that technology where you can basically know what's going on in your house at any time of the day. In fact, I suggested to the vacuum cleaner folks, the iRobot folks, you got to put a webcam on there and turn that vacuum cleaner into a security guard, too, right?
Very discreet, yes.
I would. While you're cleaning, make sure nobody's in the house.
I would like to get a camera for my kennels so I could check on my dogs during the day.
Mm.
So if you have an outdoor situation, I've got a product that I've been using at one of my rental properties up north. It's fantastic. It's from it's a product called Arlo, A-R-L-O. It's a completely wire-free, so you don't have to plug it into power. It's got batteries that last about a year, and they're completely weatherproof. So as long as you're within Wi-Fi range, you can mount these things just about anywhere.
Rosie actually wrote that down.
And what's great about it is that they only come into play when they detect motion, right? So now if you're talking about a kennel and there's going to be a lot of motion, there may be some other technology that makes more sense. If you're trying to make sure, in my case, when somebody walks onto the porch to try to leave me some junk mail on my door, I get a little alert, and it records the 10 seconds that they were on my porch, sends me a little alert, and lets me know. So it's like I'm my own monitoring system from a security standpoint.
And I guess that's the way this technology unfolds and rolls out for the rest of society. You're just inundated with things that you really don't even know. It's a lot of supply-side economics, basically. You don't know you need that until somebody invents it and make it available to you, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, to a certain extent. I mean, we all lived without iPads for a long time, right?
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Now you get people talking about, from my cold, dead hand, you're not going to take my iPad, right? So there are on occasion we see these technologies like this that are very pervasive, and they do provide functionality that we never knew we needed. And I think that's why so many companies are doing these solutions, searching for a problem, just trying to hit a home run, because they don't really know.
But I do know one thing on technology I do value is my online backup with Carbonite. And I know you've incorporated that with your Data Doctor service. That is just if you have a computer with anything valuable on it, not take advantage of that service is just, you're waiting. You're the disaster waiting to happen now.
Yeah, I talk about backup like 3-2-1, right? Three copies of your data on at least two different devices, with one of them being offsite away. The cloud is the perfect solution for that. Think of it this way. You have a car. If you're only using like a regular backup, or if you're only using an online backup, it's like choosing between a seatbelt and an airbag. Why would you not have both?
Why would you not have both?
Why don't presidential candidates have Carbonite so their emails can always be recovered?
But they are encrypted. And in fact, if you lose your password, they don't keep a copy of the password because they don't want to ever have to be in that situation. Now, a lot of these tech companies have figured out if they make it impossible to get into your stuff, they don't have to deal with the government asking for access.
Hey, I like that.
That's Ken Colburn with Data Doctors, sponsored by Carbonite, the better backup plan.